5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
This episode is called Operation Crash Dive. Pilot Thunderbird 1, Scott Tracy. Space Monitor, John Tracy. Pilot Thunderbird 2, Virgil Tracy. Aquanaut Thunderbird 4, Gordon Tracy. Astronaut Thunderbird 3, Alan Tracy. Engineer, Brains. London Agent, Lady Penelope. Recorded in video sound, and super monophase. Giant Fireflash supersonic airliner prepares for takeoff from runway 27 at London Airport. Capable of flying faster than the speed of sound, the aircraft has attracted considerable public attention. London Control Tower gives final clearance for takeoff.
London Tower to Fireflash 3, you're clear to go.
The powerful jet engines lift the Fireflash airliner effortlessly into the sky. Its long, sleek body angles upwards as it climbs to supersonic altitude.
That's certainly some aircraft.
Yes, sir.
London Tower, this is Fireflash. Height 15,000 feet, climbing to 150,000 feet.
Permission to leave London control area.
You are clear to leave control area. Report your position as you cross the coast.
Thank you, London. Will do. Out.
There she goes. Through the sound barrier. International Air Minister, Chief Controller, London Airport here. Fireflash 3 has taken off with no mishaps and crossed the coast a few minutes ago.
Suddenly, at London Control, the emergency warning panel flashes an alert.
Mayday! Mayday! This is Fireflash 3, position TS-757, stroke AR-436. Losing height rapidly. Engines...
Fireflash 3, this is London Control. Can you hear me? Rescue station. Mayday from Fireflash 3. Last heard off position, TS-757 stroke AR-436. Start search operation immediately.
Air Sea Rescue. Operation Seahawk. Places immediately.
A flight of Air Sea Rescue Seahawk jets blast off into the sky in response to the Mayday call.
Naval Rescue Headquarters, please divert all ships nearest to TS-757 stroke AR-436 to search the area.
Search aircraft launch, sir.
Good.
A jet-powered sea rescue hydrofoil speeds toward the crash area to join in the search.
Approaching rescue area. Commence Operation Seahawk.
Together, the air and sea rescue teams comb the area, crisscrossing again and again the last known position of Fireflash 3.
London Tower, Operation Seahawk, search negative.
Roger, Seahawk. Return to base.
Both aircraft and ship report such negative, sir. Fire Flash 3 has just disappeared.
It's fantastic. All right. Cancel Operation Seahawk.
An emergency meeting is called at the International Air Ministry in London.
It just is not good enough. That aircraft cost not only £5 million, but 600 lives as well. As International Air Minister, I have a duty to the public, and I am ordering all fire flashes to be grounded immediately. Is that clear? Yes, sir. Perfectly. Furthermore, I want the whole project tested, both in the lab and on the aircraft herself. No blame is being attached to anyone. But there is a fault, and that fault has to be eliminated. All fire flashes are to be grounded, and they are certified as airworthy.
At International Rescue Headquarters, Jeff Tracy is watching a news telecast of the fire flash incident. He is joined by John Tracy and Tintin.
This morning, British plane Fire Flash disappeared on its flight to San Francisco. Earlier this year, on its maiden flight, the Fire Flash had a bomb fixed to its undercarriage, and it was only due to the intervention of International Rescue that the plane and its passengers were saved. This time, there were no survivors. All Fire Flashes have been grounded pending tests.
Sabotage again?
I doubt it. With the precautions they take now, sabotage is unlikely.
But why should an aircraft like that suddenly disappear?
Metal fatigue?
I guess it could be 101 things. We'd better watch these test flights pretty closely.
Despite everything, I still think it's a great aircraft.
Using the televideo, Jeff Tracy contacts Alan Tracy, who is on duty aboard the space communications satellite, Thunderbird 5.
International Rescue Space Station. This is Jeff Tracy.
Go ahead, Father.
I want you to monitor all transmissions on the fire flash tests.
Right, Father. By the way, I've been checking on the crash. According to our automatic fixer, the fire flash crew radioed a wrong position before they disappeared. They were more than 50 miles out.
That's strange. Anyway, Alan, keep listening.
FAB.
Jeff Tracy uses the house intercom to put the rest of the family on standby.
Scott, Virgil, Gordon.
Yes, Father, we're all here.
I want you boys all to stand by. Further tests are being carried out on Fire Flash. It could mean trouble.
All of the grounded Fire Flash airliners are subjected to rigorous and exhaustive tests at the world-famous Farnborough Flight Testing Grounds. The results of the tests prove all Fire Flash aircraft to be completely airworthy. And so, a special test flight to San Francisco is arranged.
You will fly the same course as Fire Flash 3. The plane has been checked by the ground crew and found in perfect order. Keep in constant touch with control.
What height do we fly?
150,000 feet. Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, I can't emphasize enough how important it is that you keep in constant touch with control. Good luck.
In perfect weather conditions, the giant Fire Flash supersonic airliner prepares for its test flight takeoff.
Fire Flash to control. Over.
Loud and clear, Fire Flash.
Fire Flash to tower. Pre-flight test completed. Takeoff clearance.
Fire Flash, you're clear to go.
Full power. Flash to tower, airborne at 2,500 feet. Climbing to 150,000 feet.
About to go through a sound barrier.
In the International Rescue Communications Satellite, Alan Tracy is monitoring events. The satellite's multi-band receiver picks up the test pilot's latest radioed position check.
Fire flash to London Tower. Crossing the coast at LS749-AP428.
That's odd. The automatic fixer puts them 20 miles northwest of there.
Neither the Fire Flash flight crew nor London Control suspect that anything has gone wrong.
Everything okay?
Yes, sir. Everything seems fine.
We're about 50 miles from the crash area.
Thank you, Fire Flash. Take a position check when you reach the area.
Will do, London.
Switching to automatic flight, Lan.
So far, so good.
Better prepare to check our position.
Hazard warning lights on the aircraft flight deck indicate massive instrument failure and serious power loss.
Elevator power unit negative.
London Control, this is Fireflash. We're having trouble with our EPU.
Gyro stabilizer, Shane Fork.
Fireflash is in trouble, sir. But I can't read their messages.
A Fireflash to London. Also having trouble with our gyros.
Fireflash, please repeat.
With gyro stabilizer trouble.
Our position is TS-749-AP-428.
The test flight is in serious trouble, and at exactly the same position as the ill-fated Fireflash 3.
Emergency stations. The instruments have gone haywire and the controls are not reacting.
Okay. Alan Tracy calls International Rescue Headquarters on the televideo.
Go ahead, Alan.
Fireflash, Father. They sent out a mayday, but the signal was too weak for London to receive. I can only just hear it myself. They have given their position, but I make them 180 miles northwest of it.
Okay, Alan. Listen out and see if you can get another fix.
FAB.
As Jeff Tracy puts the entire international rescue team on alert, the giant Fireflash airliner is about to crash into the ocean.
Here we go.
The stricken airliner plunges into the ocean. For a few agonizing moments, it floats on the surface of the sea. The flight crew rush to the emergency exit, but they find that the door is jammed shut.
Help me! It's jammed!
Quick! We're going under! Come on!
It's no good. She's jammed.
In the distance, as Fireflash slowly sinks beneath the waves, a single parachute falls through the air. A private aircraft with no markings flies low over the crash area. Floating on the sea is a single rubber dinghy and a discarded parachute. Laying inside the dinghy is a man wearing a flying suit and mask. The man waves to the aircraft and fires a signal flare into the sky. The strange aircraft turns towards the man in the suit, hovers overhead, and winches him aboard. The aircraft then flies off. Fireflash, its flight crew still trapped inside the cockpit, has sunk without trace. At International Rescue Headquarters, Jeff Tracy is already briefing the team.
Okay, Scott, you take Thunderbird 1 and establish a base on the coastline nearest the crash area. Then scan the area electronically.
Yes, Father.
Virgil, you take Gordon and Brains with you, and I guess you'll need Thunderbird 4.
Right, Father.
Keep in touch, Scott.
Will do.
Thunderbird 1 and Thunderbird 2 blast off in a desperate attempt to find the crashed Fireflash airliner. Scott flies on ahead to set up a mobile control unit on the Irish coast. Using a powerful radar scanner, he sweeps large areas of the Atlantic for any trace of the missing Fireflash airliner, but he can find nothing. Meanwhile, Virgil, Gordon, and Brains aboard Thunderbird 2 head for the Fireflash's last known position off the Irish coast.
Approaching danger zone.
Virgil, get London Control to send the circuit diagrams of Fireflash's electronics. I may need them.
By radio photograph?
Yeah.
Okay, Brains.
Brains carefully studies the Fireflash's electronic circuit diagrams.
Now,
The trouble could be here somewhere. I think I got it. I got it. Now, if the gyro shaft sheared, it could have damaged the main hydraulic power supply to the flaps. Yeah, that would cause the aircraft to crash. Do you think it's possible that they crash landed on the sea? Well, it's possible. It would depend on the skill of the crew. Well, if they had the best crew available.
If they crash landed on the sea, we would have received a distress call from their lifeboat. Unless
they were trapped in the cabin. And if the hydraulic system jammed, the automatic escape hatches would not operate. Do you realize what this could mean? I realize, all right. They could be alive, trapped in the flight deck at the bottom of the sea.
Trapped inside the Fireflash at the bottom of the ocean, the two test pilots desperately radio for help.
London Control, this is Fireflash. Can you hear me?
It's no good. They can't hear us. Not even with a new thorium beam transmitter. We've had it.
As Thunderbird 2 flies over the Irish coast and out across the Atlantic, Scott contacts them by radio.
Thunderbird 2 from Mobile Control. Have searched complete area. Result? Negative. Can see you approaching danger zone.
FAB, launching Thunderbird 4. We think crew may be trapped in aircraft on seabed.
Virgil switches the powerful engines into vertical drive, and Rescue Pod 4 is jettisoned into the sea. Inside is Gordon Tracy and Thunderbird 4. The trapdoor in the side of Rescue Pod 4 opens, and a ramp extends out into the sea. The submarine craft Thunderbird 4 is ready for launch.
Thunderbird 2 from Thunderbird 4, commencing launch. Mobile control from Thunderbird 4. I need a course to take me to Fireflash crash position.
Thunderbird 4 from mobile control. Steer 107 degrees, magnetic.
Steering 107 magnetic, Scott.
Thunderbird 4 glides swiftly through the ocean depths, its powerful searchlight beams cutting through the murky gloom.
Okay, Gordon, you're approaching crash area. Commence search.
Thunderbird 4, FAB.
The Fireflash crew catch sight of Thunderbird 4's searchlight and switch on the aircraft's navigational lights to attract attention. Luckily, Gordon sees the flashing lights and turns to investigate. And not a moment too soon, for the lights fuse and burn out the aircraft's electrical circuits.
I found her, and she's in one piece. Can't see any signs of life yet.
Oh, nice work, Gordon. Stand by one moment.
Now let me see. The engines could...
Could they still be alive, Brains?
Now, please, Virgil. Gordon, cut off the engines
on the tailplane with a laser beam, and Fireflash will float to the surface.
Then we can rescue the crew.
If they're still alive.
Gordon, in a frogman's suit, swims across to the Fireflash and communicates the rescue plan to the crew by means of a mini digital display screen that he holds against the cockpit windscreen. Gordon then swims back to Thunderbird 4 and uses the laser gun in its nose section to cut away the jet engines on the Fireflash's tailplane. Slowly, the Fireflash begins to rise to the surface. Gordon follows close behind in Thunderbird 4, and surfaces alongside the floating aircraft.
Okay, Gordon, she's surfaced.
FAB, coming up alongside her.
What's that smell?
Gordon attaches himself to the fuselage of the Fireflash by means of a magnetic harness, and uses a handheld laser gun to cut through the aircraft's windshield. But it may already be too late, for the Fireflash's damaged electrical circuits have begun to smoke and burn.
What smell? Bobby, you
extinguisher.
Are you crazy? We can hardly breathe now.
We've got to do something. We're going to be burned to death.